Let's just stay in the presence of God as we get into the Word today. I tell you what, when the anointing gets this strong, I have a tendency to want to wander around, and God told me to tape this morning, so God has kind of put me between a rock and a hard place. Because when the anointing gets strong, you have a hard time sitting still. The last few weeks we have been dealing with the power of walking with God. We have discovered with the lame man at the gate beautiful that he was sitting right outside the Gentile gate, and there was a prophetic significance to that story of Peter and John coming and healing him, because it was representing, I believe, much of the church today, that our theologies that are based upon the doctrines of men rather than the Word of God are crippling believers at birth. And they can't walk with God. And if you can't walk with God, you can't go anyplace with God. And so most of the body of Christ is sitting there spinning their wheels, because if you can't walk, you can't be transformed. The calling of Abraham was, come walk with me, and in you walking with me, I will make you into who you're supposed to be. Well, if you can't walk, you don't do anything. And so we're looking, one of the things God has been again dealing with me about is we have to have accuracy in our walk. And I tell you right now, I'm going to share some things that I preached wrong in the past that I'm correcting this morning about the tithe. And it was news to me, but how many know when God begins to show you in the Word, and here's our problem, guys, and I'm just as bad at this as anyone else. You look at one thing of Scripture, and you don't look at everything surrounding it many times, and so you brace your concepts and everybody else preaches it based upon that one little snippet, and you don't expand it, you don't zoom back out, you can kind of miss the whole point of what God was talking about. And we're going to find that in Malachi, because what we're going to discover this morning was not that the people quit giving, it's they were giving to the wrong ones. Everybody say ouch. We need to, for us to get through some of the times that are ahead of us, we have got to start giving the way that God said to give. But to give the way that God said to give, you got to find out about how he said to give. And it's more than just putting the money in the offering plate. That there are the proper places to give, and there's the proper attitude in which you have to give, and there's things that you got to do when you give, whether you're putting a plate in the, or putting the money in the offering plate, or if you're online, because there are many times you can give to ministries online. There's something you need to do before you hit that send button. I mean, if you do it right, you can type in $10 and hit the send button and do it right and get more results than if you'd have typed in $1 million and hit the send button. Because it's properly applying what God said. Now, I want to start this morning in Genesis chapter 14, verses 18 through 20. Now, how many know around here we've been talking a lot about the principle of first mention? It establishes any doctrine. It establishes a concept given by God. God will interweave into that story the basic foundational things for us to understand, and then he always expands off of that foundation. He never denies that foundation. He never ignores that foundation, but he will always expand from it. And if we do not take Genesis 14 and make it as the foundation of the tithe, you don't have a clue about the tithe. Because it is the first mention of the tithe in the Word of God. Now, picking up in verse 18, now Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought forth bread and wine, and he was the priest of the Most High God. And he blessed him and said, blessed be Abram of the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth, and blessed be the Most High God, which hath delivered thy enemies into thine hands, and he gave him tithes of all. That is the first time tithes is mentioned in the Word of God. Okay? Now, the first question that we have to ask is who is this Melchizedek? And actually, there's much debate about it among scholars, because you can go and say, well, Melchizedek was the priesthood of the firstborn, so it could have been the firstborn line that had been since the garden that possessed great knowledge of the Word of God, and so it was their duty to maintain that knowledge. And so Abram wasn't the firstborn, and he wasn't of that lineage that had the knowledge, and so Melchizedek came and gave him the rest of the story. That's very fitting, that can be very true, but I think that probably the most likely is that this was a Christophanies. This was Jesus manifesting in the Old Testament. It was the pre-incarnate Christ manifesting. Now, here are several reasons that I want to share this. Let's jump up. I want you to keep in mind what's happening here in Genesis, but I want to jump over to Hebrews chapter 7, where I believe the Apostle Paul wrote Hebrews, and that's up for conjecture, but there is some evidence that it was at one time connected to the book of Galatians. Because first he had to correct the Shammai Pharisees about Gentiles needing circumcision to be saved, and then he went on to explain the rest of everything he needed to correct them on, which was to the Hebrews or to the Shammai Pharisees that were causing all the problems. Does that make sense? Now you can take that for a dollar if you want to or not. It's up to you. Now, starting in verse 1 of Hebrews 7, "For this Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High God, who met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings and blessed him, to whom also Abraham gave a tenth part of all, being by interpretation king of righteousness." That's what. So his name was not Melchizedek. That was his title. We don't actually know what his name was, but who's the king of righteousness? I mean, when you take Melchizedek apart, Melech, king, Zedek, righteous. That's where we get the word Zedekim, the righteous ones. He is the king of righteousness, appeared to him and began to show him some things. Now, let's find out some other things about this. It says, after also the king of Salem, or the king of Shalom, the king of peace, which is king of peace, without father, without mother, without descent, having neither beginning of days nor end of days, but made like unto the Son of God, abiding a priest continually. So he had no beginning and end. He had no natural father or father. He was like unto the Son of God. He abides as a priest continually, and he is the King of righteousness. How many know that was most likely the pre-incarnate Christ showing up in the Old Testament? Okay, now let's jump on over here to verse 18, and we're going to see that this was given to Jesus, that Jesus is of the order of Melchizedek. For there is verily a disannulling of the commandment going before for the weakness and unprofitableness thereof. For the law made nothing perfect, but the bringing of a better hope did, by which we draw nigh unto God. And inasmuch as not without an oath was he made a priest, for those priests were made without an oath, but this was made an oath by him that saith unto him, The Lord swear and will not repent, thou art a priest forever, the order of Melchizedek. By so much was Jesus made a surety of a better covenant, and they truly were many priests, because they were not suffered to continue by reason of death. But this man, or this one, referring to Jesus, because he continueth forever, hath an unchangeable priesthood. Therefore he is able to save them to the utmost that come unto God by him, seeing that he liveth to make intercession for them. I tell you what, now, that's just enough to have church right there. Now, you see, what we need to realize is the Levitical priesthood was plan B. Jesus was always plan A. In fact, in this same thing we're going to read here in a minute, one of the things, I can't remember if I'm going to go that far into it or not, but he said that, now, the Levites received the tithe, but he said that Levi in the loins of Abraham tithed to Jesus. And so he's the one who receives the tithe. Let's jump up back to verse 4. Now consider how great this man was, unto whom even the patriarch Abraham gave the tenth of his spoils. And verily they that are of the sons of Levi, who received an offering of the priesthood, have a commandment to take tithes of the people according to the law, that is, of their brethren, though they came out of the loins of Abraham. But he whose descendant is not counted from among them received tithes of Abraham, and blessed him that had the promises. And without all contradiction, the less is blessed by the greater. And here men that die receive tithes, but there he receiveth them from whom it is witnessed that he liveth. You need to underline that in your Bible. When you tithe, Jesus receives the tithe. In the spirit realm, when you take and you pray and you do it the right way, when you put it in the offering plate, it is Jesus says, you just gave it to me and I receive it.
That's right.
Okay? So one of the things that we need to understand is that tithing, giving a material thing, has a spiritual impact, that there is a spiritual thing connected to it, and so that when you give to something, you are contributing to the spirit of something. Now that's going to be important here just in a minute. It's going to be real important. And many times believers have been giving to the wrong spirit. Somebody say, help me, Jesus. Hallelujah. Now, but let's go back to Genesis. Melchizedek comes up. Abram finally grew up. Before, he was afraid of the Pharaoh. And now his family, some of his family is taken, Lot and his family is taken captive. And he says, you know what, I don't care how many kings there are. We're just going to get us an army amongst ourselves. We're going to go down there, we're going to open up a can of whoop pagan. And they went down there and they whoop pagan. And when he comes back, before he was operating in fear, now he knows who he is in God. You see, in God, you may be facing an army, but all you need is a rock and a sling if you know who you are in God. And so finally, he grew up to the place, and now it was impossible for him to go to the next level until Melchizedek showed up and gave him the rest of the story, because he brought him bread and wine. Where did the bread and wine come from at the Ev Shabbat table every Sabbath in every Jewish home? Why do they start out with bread and wine? It's because Melchizedek came and taught Abram something that he encoded into the Sabbath. Whether any Jew knows it or not, they are taking communion every Ev Shabbat, because it is a rehearsal of Messiah. And so when Melchizedek came, he imparted knowledge to Abram. Knowledge from God to take him to the next level. It was after this event, Abram's name was changed to Abraham. You finally grew up, boy, let's go ahead and give you a grown-up name. The second, Isaac was conceived. It was not until this that Abraham received the strength of communion with God was Isaac conceived. Now what's also interesting, we say, how do you know that he shared some stuff with him? Because the book of Hebrews says that when he was willing to give up his only begotten son for God, that he received him in a vision as being raised from the dead. There is no mention anywhere in the Word of God from the time of Abraham before of even understanding what resurrection of the dead was. It was a new concept. Where did he get it? He got it from Melchizedek. Jesus sat down with him and said, son, because you're going to do this thing, I'm going to be able to do this thing, and I'm going to give my life for mankind. Because when you all, I mean, Abraham with confidence, I mean, he took Isaac up the mountain, and dad, where's the lamb? God will provide one. He was looking for that lamb of God. And in that instance, God did not provide a lamb. What did he provide? Ram. And from that day on, all the rabbis, all the faithful Jewish people were looking for the Lamb of God, until there was a prophet one day on the shore of Galilee that pointed and said, behold, there's God's Lamb. It's all interconnected. Oh. There's about 9 ways I could preach right now, but I got to stick to what God told me to say. Woo! The tithe, unlike what many have said, I have heard many teach that the tithe was in response to the victory over the kings. It was not. The tithe was in response to the instruction given to him by Melchizedek. Because he refused any profit from the capture of the kings. Therefore, if you took nothing and you tithed 10%, how much is that? He couldn't tithe from that because he refused anything. He was tithing because he was responding to what Melchizedek had imparted to him of the Word of God, of the wisdom of God. Therefore, tithing and true and biblical instruction are tied together from the very beginning, and they're inseparable. Okay? Everybody see that? Is that plain as day or as clear as mud? Okay? Now let's jump over to Numbers chapter 18, verse 21. And this is going to back up exactly what we read in the book of Hebrews, that the Levites were commanded to take tithe of all of Israel. I thought this was going to take real long to teach this morning, but when you preach it, man, it goes faster. Oh, I'm having so much fun. I need to give a little extra this morning simply because I'm having fun. Numbers 18:20, when behold, I have given the children of Levi all the tenth in Israel for an inheritance for their service which they serve. I have given them the tithe for their service which they serve, even the service of the tabernacle of the congregation, not the tabernacle of God, the tabernacle of the congregation. You see, there were two categories of Levites. There were just the general Levite. They did not minister to God. They ministered to the people. It was their job. They received no inheritance. They could have no land because they were, they're kind of like how the reporters are today in the middle of the war. They're embedded with the soldiers. The Levites were supposed to be embedded with God's people in every community to teach them the instruction of God. And then you had a subcategory of Levite called the Kohen that was the direct line of Aaron. They ministered to God. They never taught the word. They spent all their time with the activities of the tabernacle and the sacrifices and all these different things. And what's really interesting, if you read on in the scripture, when a Levite received the tithe, he had to tithe on the tithe. That he had to give a tenth of what he got to the Kohen that had no chance of getting a tithe. I mean, and guys, let me tell you something. We need to understand. I think we're coming into a day and a time. This isn't even in my notes. This is extra. This is gravy, okay? We're coming in a time that there are churches that are going to have people on staff that will never minister to one person. They will only minister to God. That their job is the job of intercessor. It's a job of just seeking the face of God, of giving God the praise and the honor that's due him. And it's the church's duty to give them the tithe of the tithe. That's not too popular. You don't see that in very many churches. Well, what's Brother so-and-so doing for the church? Nothing. It's not his job. He's supposed to be doing something for God. Now that may warp it. It may actually cause fractures in the American mentality of church. But it, how many know the many times the American mentality of church is not the word of God? It is tradition that has been handed down and warped around and all these different things. But guys, it's coming. It's coming. That we're going to have those that are coming into a kind of a segment of the fivefold ministry, except they'll never pray physically for one person. They're never going to ever get behind a pulpit. But what they're going to do is they have a special prayer room. That what they do is they constantly offer up the sacrifice of praise and worship and all these different things. That will empower a church. We ain't got there yet. Right now, we can't even afford me, but we're going to get to the place. I have a dream. I have a dream. I have a vision of this actually following the word of God. But guys, here's the concept that I want to get to today. The tithe is given to where you are spiritually fed. There is no such thing as spiritual impartation without biblical instruction. So when you have all these ministers going around and they never teach the word and they're giving an impartation, it's called mysticism. It's got to be the word. The word has to be the foundation for everything. Right. Mystics don't want to give any biblical interpretation. They want you to have an experience so that you dig deeper in your pockets. Somebody walking with God will say, this is going to hurt, but I'm going to tell you the truth. Come on now. Now, let's jump over to Malachi, because Malachi is one of the chief ones that we use for tithing. And so we always jump over to Malachi 3, but you can't understand Malachi 3 until you understand Malachi chapter 2, because the tithe is always connected to the Levite. Have we established that? The tithe is connected to the Levite. And so God has a few choice words for the Levites. Starting in verse 1 of Malachi chapter 2, and now, O ye priests, this commandment is for you. I tell you what, sometimes the last thing you want is God to show up and say, this one's for you, Jack. All right? If you will not hear, if you will not lay it to heart to give glory unto my name, saith the Lord of hosts, I will send a curse upon you, and I will curse your blessings. Yea, I will curse them already, because you have not laid it to heart. Behold, I will corrupt your seed, and spread dung upon your face, even the dung of your solemn feasts, and one shall take you away with it. And you shall know that I have sent this commandment unto you, that my commandment might be with Levites, saith the Lord of hosts, my commandment with him was with him of life and peace, and I gave them to him for the fear wherewith he feared me and was afraid before my name. Now, for all true Levites, or all true ministers of the gospel, the law of truth was in his mouth, and iniquity was not found in his lips. And he walked with me in peace and equity, and did turn many away from iniquity. And so when the proper instruction of God is come, that the law of truth is in his mouth, he will not allow iniquity to come out of his mouth. He walks properly in the shalom and the equity of God, and he will turn many away, not only from individual sin, but lifestyles of sin, because iniquity is different than sin. Sin is something you do one time. Iniquity is a habit that is encoded into your DNA. And so if he is teaching truth properly, he will change the way you do things. Okay? Then he goes on to say, for the priest's lips should keep knowledge, and they should seek the law at his mouth, for he is the messenger of the Lord of hosts. But ye are departed out of the way. Ye have caused many to stumble at the law. Ye have corrupted the covenant of Levi, saith the Lord of hosts. Therefore have I also made you contemptible and base before all the people, according as ye have not kept my ways, but have been partial in the law. Now, what was going on here? Why? See if we can place this, because how many know that the devil never has anything new? It's the same thing. The only thing that the only truth of reincarnation is Satan takes the same plot and rehashes it and reincarnates it over and over and over and over again. The problem with the Levites is, now you know that you're in a community and the tithe belongs to you if you teach the people. But the people's rebellion against God got to the place where they began tithing to the Levites that told them what they wanted to hear instead of what they needed to hear. No, let me say that again. They began funding those who would tell them what they wanted to hear and starved out those who told them what they needed to hear. And it created an environment that Levites begin to have to compromise the word of God to keep their families fed. And God said that was an abomination. I don't know how many times, and I've been in church forever, I think. That's one promise my mama did keep. She said, God, if you let him live, he's yours. And so I remember many a Sunday service sleeping underneath the pew of the church little and waking up when the preacher would preach real good, looking up, see what was going on. I mean, it goes that far back. But since I've been around a while, I've heard wealthy men in the church get mad when the preacher would bring correction, and I'm going to hold my tithe. Yeah. I'm going to drive this preacher out of here because he's not giving me what I want. Well, what you want many times will kill you.
That's right.
It will destroy you. And right now, television airwaves are full of men telling everybody what they want to hear instead of what they need to hear. We're having men compromising on what sin is. I had a man that I greatly respect the other day, and heard a clip, and it absolutely broke my heart because they were asking him about one particular sin. Well, if you practice this lifestyle, will you go to hell? Well, I don't want to say. God said, New Testament, those who practice these things will not enter into the kingdom of God. Now, I have a choice. This is God's word. He wrote it. I didn't. It doesn't matter if I love it, don't like it. It don't matter. It's unchanging.
That's right.
Now, just because you get 10 million people surrounding you saying, we don't like what God said, he don't care.
That's right.
He didn't ask your opinion. And when it's all said and done, he's going to tell you what he thinks. And what his standard is the only one that counts. And so I don't care how much you like it, if God says he hates it and you can't get into his kingdom if you're doing it, your attitude is going to send you to hell and all 10 million of them with you. And preachers just simply say, you know what? There's a lot of things about God I don't understand, but he said he don't like it and you can't get there with it. And so this is his salvation. This is his plan. This is his kingdom. And I'm just a messenger of what he said. And if you want to go ahead and kill the messenger, have your way, but I'm going to stay faithful to what God said. Now, I had my Wheaties this morning. Now, Paul says in 2 Timothy 2, 16 through 17, all scripture is given by God and is profitable, is profitable, is profitable. It'll do something in your life. For doctrine, for blessing, for warm fuzzies, for it's going to be okay. God just loves you just the way you are, and you all can get together, and there's just many ways to salvation. Is that what he says? No. He says that that it's for doctrine, for reproof. For correction. Nobody wants reproof anymore. Nobody wants to be corrected anymore. They don't want it. Bless God, and I'm not going to give where somebody tells me that I've got to straighten up my life. I'm going to give where I get the biggest miracles, where I get the biggest bang for my buck. Isn't that the way it goes? And if you ever get them on a telethon, they start competing. Two angels is going to come to your house if you give $195. Oh, yeah? Well, 10 angels are going to come to your house if you give $295.16. Now, don't forget the 16 cents because this is divine revelation. Mystic. Abomination. Instruct the people how to get their heads out of the sand and start living the way God told them to live.
Amen.
Because the Word of God is profitable for doctrine. Doctrine means not the statements you put up on the wall. It means how to live. Doctrine is profitable to teach you how to live. For reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. This is how the righteous live. This is the standard. You don't do it, you're not walking in righteousness. Why? That the man of God may be perfect, telios, mature, whole, thoroughly furnished unto every good work. We're not doing good works because we're not being trained. We're not being trained because you can't get funded in the environment of the church today by teaching them truth. The Levites that gave the people what they wanted to hear were receiving the most tithe, guys. It set up an environment that to feed your family you had to compromise or starve out. And let me tell you something, there are a lot of true men and women of God that are pastoring small congregations that are starving out because they refuse to compromise this book.
Amen. That's right.
And everybody is Google-eyed at the boob tube watching some minister who drives a BMW, who doesn't correct them. Never. When was the last time on television you heard a correction and a rebuke except for not giving? Except for not giving. Exclude giving. When was the last time you had a preacher stare in the camera and say, this is sin, and if you do it, you are going to hell. You cannot say you're a believer and have these things in your life. When was the last time you heard that? Selah. Now let's go back to Malachi. Or if you're Italian, it's Malachi. Malachi chapter 3, verse 8 through 12. Even preachers that don't say anything in the Old Testament is needed for us today, boy, they sure bring out that tithe, don't they? If you got to do the tithe, all the rest of it may be pertinent to us today too. Amen. Will a man rob God? Yet have ye robbed me? But they say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. You are cursed with a curse. Now, didn't he just tell a bunch of Levites that they were cursed with a curse? Okay. And then he goes on to say, for ye have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring ye all the tithe into the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house, and prove me now in here, and says Lord of hosts. I want to stop there, and can I preach this for a minute? Two things. What you give to, you are spiritually connected to.
Amen.
How many of all those that won't correct you, all those that are telling you what you want, are of another spirit? They are not of Jesus. Therefore, when I give to them, Jesus is not receiving the tithe. Another spirit is. Not only is another spirit receiving the tithe, but then you begin to partake of their curse. Because what I have seen with this is you give $5,000 this year, and by the time, and God will bless you. It looks like God's blessed you in a little bit, but next year you'll be in twice the mess you were this year, so that next year you're convinced to give $10,000. And it's always bigger problems and bigger offerings to overcome those problems, when if you were receiving the instruction of God, you wouldn't be walking into those problems. And what we need to understand is not that Israel had stopped tithing. This is what I taught. Israel quit tithing. God had to bring back the tithe. No, God didn't have to bring back the tithe. He said, bring it to my storehouse. The Levites who were faithful in teaching the true word of God, or the storehouse of God. And God is saying, when you starve them out, you're starving me out. Because their houses are my houses. And I want bread in my house so that my ministers can rebuke you when they need to, and correct you when they need to, and to lead you away from iniquity when they need to. But you can't starve them out and think you're going to be blessed for putting an offering in the offering plate. You got to be careful who you give to. And I tell you what, I don't care if somebody gets on TV or up in a meeting and promises me that if I give, that Jesus will personally show up in my household. I'm not giving unless you give me the depth of the word. Because I only give to those who what they teach adds to me to walk more closely to God. I got to go the next level. Now, we also need to understand what you seed to, you reap more of. So if I am sowing to those who are teaching me more of God's word, what am I going to reap? More revelation, because he said, prove me herewith. See if I won't open up the window of heaven and pour out a blessing more than you can. And people say, there are going to be more cities falling from the sky. Glory to God, there was gold dust and then there were gold bricks. Well, I might show up for the gold bricks, but I'm not interested in the gold dust. Okay? All these things are going to fall from the sky. What's going to come from heaven is the knowledge you need to fix your life. That when I give to deception, I reap more deception. When I give to truth, because I have responded to truth, I'm going to get greater truth. God may have to take me to the woodshed, correct me. He said, not only by my stripes are you going to be healed, but I'm about ready to share with you some of my stripes. Then you can pray for healing after I get done, but you got to have some correction, because the only way that a man can be turned from his iniquity is to be corrected, for somebody to get in his face and say, don't call yourself a Christian and do that. You disgrace the name of God. You're making the name of God vain in the earth. Straighten up and fly right. God gave you the standard. Now go back to the book and get the standard done. Verse 10, bring ye all the tithe into the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house. Prove me now, herewith saith the Lord, if I will not open up the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing, that there shall not be enough room to receive, and I will rebuke the devourer for your sake. You see, the way that the devourer is rebuked is if you start funding the right things and start receiving what they're saying and start doing it. When you start doing it, God says, back off of my kid. He's starting to do what I'm saying.
That's right. That's
God isn't going to do that if you're not doing what he says. He can't rebuke the devourer when you're walking hand in hand with the devourer. Come on now. But if I get correction in my life where the Holy Ghost has me by the hand and he's walking me in the commandments and statutes and judgments of God and he's starting to make the Word of God come alive and I start living it, all of a sudden the Father from heaven says, leave my kid alone. It's time for him to learn how to walk. You're going to get those stumbling blocks out of the way for a little bit so that he can get his footing. And then I'm going to show you how that boy can dance over your stumbling blocks. He's just simply going to turn it into a Holy Ghost gym and get some. He's going to end up being like a ninja when he gets done. But he's going to be able to just go through all your traps and not spring any of them. And when he hits the ground on the other side, he's going to say, glory to God. Yeah. Because he makes my feet like hinds feet.
Right.
Oh. But the only way that you can walk in high places is you got to walk with a high God. And you got to live by his high standards and do it his way. Guys, most of the body today is funding those that teach anything goes. Those tithes do not go to Jesus. They are going to dark spirits that empower the perversion of the word. And God is robbed. Just like it was at the close of the Old Testament, so it will be again today before Jesus comes back. That the majority of the body, that's part of the great falling away. We're defunding deception because it pleases our flesh. You know, I realized something. God doesn't want everybody to drive a BMW. If it was, then we need to buy stock in it because then everybody should be driving one. Or a Lexus. There are some preachers out there because they're teaching truth and nobody's tithing to them. The brand of tire they have is called Might Pop. They might pop at any minute. And everybody thinks they're driving a race car because it's with slicks. It isn't. It's because there's no tread left on the tires. But they're trying to preach to the few that they can find that want to hear truth. We have had a lot of men that have taken the prosperity gospel and taken it to such an extreme that Jesus has been left out of it. How many know that you can drive a Chevy, a Toyota, a Dodge, and still serve Jesus? What really matters most, heaven wants you to get where you need to go safely. But heaven doesn't care what you're driving. Heaven cares what's driving you. Okay.
Yeah.
Now, how do I do this thing right? We've got to learn to honor God with a tithe. Let's go to Proverbs chapter 3, verses 7 through 12. And I want to show you something interesting. Some try to separate verses 11 and 12 from 7 through 10, and you can't once you understand the principle of the tithe. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bone. Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruit of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty and thy presses burst out with new wine. Now, how many have ever seen people that have read verse 10 but never read verses 7 and 8, 9? Fear God. Don't be wise in your own eyes. Depart from evil, because when you do, it begins to cause health to flow. Now, honor the Lord with increase so that he can do all these things, And verse 11 is still part of this whole thing. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction. For whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, even as a son, the father, the son in whom he delighteth. All this is connected because he was saying, fear God, don't be wise in your own eyes. You better start listening to the ministers that are trying to bring correction to your life. And when you honor God by loving God, honoring God, and giving to those that bring correction and rebuke and empowerment and instruction, it's going to cause you to have plenty. And in the midst of all this, don't despise chastening of the Lord, because the Lord loves those whom he chastens. And let me flip this on the flip side. Do you know what the number one way that you know that you're saved is? If God has ever gotten on your case about anything, boy, you're saved. Because he won't correct somebody that isn't his. And a believer that never gets corrected of God isn't a believer. God don't waste time correcting the devil's kids. They're not his. But if he ever gets one of them and they're born into the family, then he may set you down and say, son, this is going to hurt me more than it's going to hurt you. And to commence to lay on some stripes and some correction. But he does that because the Bible says when you correct a child properly, it drives mischief far from them. And right now, a lot of people in the body of Christ are more involved in mischief than they are in holiness.
That's right.
So, to properly tithe, principle number one, I've got to give it to the place that I'm getting biblical instruction. The good stuff, the hard stuff, the help me daddy, I'm about ready to get beat to death stuff. You gotta give to all of it if there's correction. If it's all fluff, if it is all everything else, you're dealing with the prophets of Baal. You are not dealing with the prophets of God. The prophets of Baal used to hate when Jeremiah would come around. Oh, look who came in. He's going to try to correct this all. And all the prophets of Baal were saying, I got a feeling everything's going to be all right. Keep the money flowing. Oh, 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 I got a feeling everything's going to be all right. Come on, take up that offering. I got a feeling. Don't you feel good, folks? That was the attitude of the prophets of Baal. Jeremiah would show up and said, God is going to destroy Israel if you don't change. And then he would cry.
God's going to wipe you out, Jack. You won't change.
That's what Jeremiah did. He was called the weeping prophet. He was never called the happy prophet. In fact, he wrote a sequel to his book just so that you would understand who Jeremiah was. It's called Lamentations. And Jeremiah was lamenting because everybody was listening to false prophets. And they wouldn't correct. Instead, let's just make everybody feel welcome. I don't make the devil feel welcome. I don't make sin feel welcome. Amen. I don't make the lies of the devil feel welcome, nor do I make the traditions of men feel welcome in this place. Jesus of Nazareth is welcomed in this place. The Word of God is welcomed in this place. The feasts of God are welcomed in this place because I realize they don't belong to me. They're his. The Sabbath is his. The commandments are his. And he said, if you love me, you're going to keep my commandments. I love the Lord. And so when you tithe, what do I do with it? I got the wandering tithe here. You got to say, Lord, I want to receive correction, instruction. I want to receive a true word from God. Therefore, I am hunting down the Levite. The spiritual Levite who's going to teach me truth. And I'm going to sow into him so that his house can have bread. And in so doing, Father, the windows of heaven are going to open so that I get the knowledge that I need to prosper. Now, Father, this tithe belongs to you. This isn't mine. This is yours. This is holy. To me, it's accursed in that if I take it and keep it, I'm cursed. But if I give it to you, I'm blessed. It belongs to you. Now, Father, I just worship you. I honor you with the tithe. Lord, I just ask that you would be glorified. Father, I confess that everything that I have is because of you in my life. That you give me the strength. You give me the power. You give me the wisdom. You gave me the opportunity. You gave me the very breath in my body. That the reason my heart is beating today is because you commanded it to beat. And therefore, this belongs to you. And then you give it. And in this digital age, that's when you hit send. Because how many know even though they have probably tried, there's still no way of getting a digital offering plate to pop out of the computer. But when we do it, and I expect a lot from my tithe. I'm not expecting plush cushions. I'm not expecting great edifices. I am expecting great truth. You see, well, the system, the way it's set up, the way it is so the guy that is teaching you truth can then spend all his time learning and sitting at the feet of Jesus and getting into the Word to give you greater truth. I tell you, with some of the things that I do, I find myself, Jesus wired me a whole lot different than most folks, but this whole week, this whole sermon, as God is teaching me, I literally have pages in my Bible come up in my mind. I can read my Bible in my mind. And He'll flip pages and say, now see this here? And I've even had the Holy Ghost underline things in the Bible in my mind and highlight them and say, this is what I meant by that. And I've actually had Him begin teaching me what the Greek and the Hebrew means, and I go back into the Strong's and say, I'll be darned, that was God, you know? Because sometimes with everything that I do, I don't have the chance to really get in deep like I want to, and God begins to bring from the seasons that I've had chances to get into. The Holy Spirit brings it into remembrance. But there's so many pastors, guys, that are so busy patting little heads and wiping little noses that they never have a chance to get in their prayer closet. One of the hardest things I have to do for men studying ministry, we got 5,000 of them in there that I have a history with the school. The hardest thing I get them to do is to get into their studies. That should be the easiest thing, because if you're going to be a minister, you better know the Word. You better know. You better learn how to dig. And son, you better love digging. You better say, God, right now I'm with a shovel, but I'm believing that day that's coming when you're going to give me that big bulldozer where I can go ahead and dig for the deep things of God. I'm not satisfied with a hoe. I'm not satisfied with a rake. I'm not satisfied with one of those little dinky bobcats that they have. I want something that's going to move some earth, because I want to get so deep in your Word that it takes me 10 minutes to crawl out till I can share it with somebody. That should be the heart of the minister. But can you see how that we have not... Did anybody know that the tithe was connected to teaching? Oh. Look how we've been doing it wrong all these years. In fact, that scripture in Malachi is where the whole concept of the rabbis being able to teach, that's where they got that from. God took it from the Levites, and so the rabbis picked it up. But the rabbis even encoded some stuff for some safety for them. That, how many know the Apostle Paul was able to make tents? You know why? Because every rabbi was required to have a side job or a business that he always ran to help fund him. And then the tithe that came into him was extra, so that he would never be so engaged in serving the tithe that he corrupted what he was teaching. But yet they had already done it by the time of Jesus anyway. That Jesus rebukes some of them, saying, you know, you're supposed to honor father and mother, but if somebody gives you a big enough gift, you can tell them, go ahead and do whatever you want to your dad and mom, because you gave me a gift. So it's almost kind of like indulgences. But because God took it from the Levites is the reason that Jesus was a rabbi, that the Apostle Paul was able to teach. He wasn't a Levite. Before Malachi, he couldn't have taught. He was of the tribe of Benjamin. But God was opening things up for those that He touched and called. But we still got to be faithful. And when it is our responsibility, guys, if we're funding the wrong ones, if we're giving this to the one who promises the biggest bang for the buck or tickles my flesh, I'm stealing from God.
That's
right. So you can tithe and yet steal from God. Come on. How many know if you're not working, you don't tithe either? But if God gives you opportunity and you're still the age to work, when God, you know, sometimes you may not, let me put it this way. If you learn how to tithe right, you get to the place where eventually God can change the atmosphere at the workplace if you do it right. It may be a slow train coming. but it was a slow train to get that bad to begin with. But if you put salt in a place long enough, it begins purifying it. Amen? Well, Father God, we thank you for the word. Father, I thank you that it does not return to you void, but it will prosper whereunto you have sent it. And Father, I just call to this as a correction time. Father, it is time that your people quit funding the prophets of Baal and start funding faithful ministers, because you are calling in this day and this hour for meat to be in your house, not in the house of Baal. Now, Father, I ask that you would get this message into the hands of every person that your spirit wills, Father. Even if you got to wake them up in the middle of the night, get them on YouTube, and there I pop up, and they don't know how. Father, I ask that you would get it into your hands, because for us to move forward in the days ahead, we got to be sowing in the right ground. We've got to be receiving the right instruction. We got major course corrections that the body of Christ has got to do so that we do not find ourselves as the unwise versions that were unprepared when the bridegroom came. But Father, we want to be the faithful ones that have the oil of the Holy Spirit full with access, because we have been receiving your instruction. And Father, I thank you and I praise you for it this morning. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.